From VOA, Press Conference USA, here is your host, Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis, host of this edition of PC USA. Joining me today are two distinguished guests and experts on the policy of nuclear weapons. Together, they have written a book entitled The Button, The Nuclear Arms Race and Presidential Power from Truman to Trump.
As we approach a historic election during a time of unprecedented socio-political strife, we must realize that the threat posed by nuclear weapons and U.S. nuclear policy is still with us. The severity of this nuclear threat is explored in great detail in the book. The book is described as a fascinating narrative of our living nuclear history, one in which the players hold the fate of the whole world at their fingertips. It offers crucial insight into the policies and politics surrounding our nuclear arsenal and explains why and how we must take action now to change these policies and avoid nuclear annihilation. Against a backdrop of landmark international arms treaties like the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, and the Open Skies Treaty being undermined or violated, as some say, presently.
Joining me via Skype to discuss nuclear policy and the future of the nuclear arms race are former Secretary of Defense Bill Perry and Plowshares Fund Policy Director Tom Kalina.
William Perry served as the U.S. Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering in the Carter administration and then as Secretary of Defense in the Clinton administration. He oversaw the development of the strategic nuclear systems that are currently in our arsenal. His new offset strategy ushered in the age of stealth, smart weapons, GPS, and technologies that changed the face of modern warfare. In 2007, Dr. Perry collaborated with George Shultz, Sam Nunn, and Henry Kissinger to publish several groundbreaking editorials in the Wall Street Journal that linked the vision of a world free from nuclear weapons with urgent but practical steps that could be taken to reduce nuclear dangers. Perry's 2015 memoir, My Journey at the Nuclear Brink, is a personal account of his lifelong effort to reduce nuclear dangers. He founded the William J. Perry Project to educate the public on these dangers. This year, Perry co-authored The Button, The New Nuclear Arms Race and Presidential Power from Truman to Trump with Tom Kalina. Perry is the father of five, grandfather of eight, and great-grandfather of four. He continues to travel the world in pursuit of his goal of reducing the threat from nuclear weapons. Tom Kalina is Director of Policy at Plowshares Fund. He is the co-author with William Perry of The Button, The New Nuclear Arms Race and Presidential Power from Truman to Trump, published this past June of 2020. Tom has 30 years of Washington, D.C. experience in nuclear weapons, missile defense, and non-proliferation issues, and he has held senior positions at the Arms Control Association, the Institute for Science and International Security, and the Union of Concerned Scientists. He has been directly involved with efforts to end U.S. nuclear testing, limit ineffective anti-missile programs, extend the non-proliferation treaty, and secure Senate ratification of the new START treaty. He has published widely in major magazines and journals and has appeared frequently in the national media, including the New York Times, CNN, and NPR. He has testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and regularly briefs congressional staff. Tom has a degree in international relations from Cornell University and lives in Tacoma Park, Maryland with his wife, three children, and a dog. When away from the office, he does not think about nuclear war.
Well, thank you both for taking the time to be guests on Press Conference USA. Secretary Perry, I'd like to start with asking you, why is the threat of nuclear weapons more imminent now than ever before?
Because the public does not understand, and the political body does not understand the dangers, and therefore our policies don't reflect things we can do to lower those dangers.
Mr. Kalina, President Truman was the first president to use nuclear weapons. In August 1945, the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on two Japanese cities as a means to end World War II. Truman defended his decision to drop the bomb, even though he said it was one of the hardest decisions he had to make as president and so soon into his presidency. Was this a good decision, especially in looking at the humanity of it all, the loss of life and destruction?
Well, Kim, you know, that's a really hard question to answer, and people have been debating probably for the last 75 years and will continue to debate whether President Truman should have dropped the bomb. I guess from my perspective, what I would like to look at is how do we prevent that from happening again, right? How do we make sure that we never have to use another nuclear weapon? You know, we haven't used a weapon for 75 years since Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and that's an important historic point, right? No president since Truman has wanted to use nuclear weapons, and yet we still have them, which means that we could still bumble into nuclear war. We could get into nuclear war by mistake. And so I think really that's the point of our book, is to say that the real danger is that we will stumble into war and that we need to take steps to reduce the chance of getting into war by accident.
Now, also in your book, you talk about President Truman. So how would you compare and contrast President Truman with President Trump regarding nuclear policy, and especially in looking at NATO, which was established under President Truman?
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, President Truman took the authority for himself to use nuclear weapons, and he took that authority away from the military, which from my perspective is a good thing. The problem is that he kept it for only one civilian, which is himself, and he said only the president shall decide when to use nuclear weapons. So fast forward to 2020 and President Trump, that's a real liability. We have a president now that is erratic, very impulsive, and yet most Americans don't realize this, but the president still has the sole authority to start nuclear war. Now, I don't want to put this just on President Trump. I think that is too much pressure. A quick decision on that is too much for any human to bear. But President Trump certainly shines a bright light on this policy, and we need to find a way to take that authority, not just on the president, but to share it with Congress and to share it with more decision makers so that there isn't just one person deciding the fate of the world.
Okay, good. So, Secretary Perry, the world is experiencing what many say right now is the biggest threat to life as we once knew it, and that is COVID-19. So, with the world and the world's leaders focusing on this ongoing pandemic, where does nuclear policy fit in a coronavirus world?
Well, coronavirus has focused our mind on the fact that we have been focusing on the wrong threat. The threat to our civilization, the threat to our people, is not a nuclear war. The threat is pandemics. The threat is economic disasters. The threat is climate disasters. And we should change our policies to recognize those. And the first thing to do is to find a way of getting out of this obsession with nuclear weapons and work to eliminate nuclear weapons. And in the meantime, take work to get policies to reduce their danger.
Also, you have said, and I quote, our nuclear weapons policy is obsolete and dangerous, unquote. And I guess it's going back to what Tom was just saying before. So really, what needs to be changed now?
The first thing to do is to recognize that we are focused on the wrong threat. The threat is not that Russia will launch a surprise attack against the United States. They're not stupid, and they're not suicidal. They're not going to do that. The threat is that we will blunder into nuclear war. Once we recognize that threat, then we can focus on policies to reduce the possibility of a blunder into nuclear war. There are many such things we can do in that regard. We list them in our book. One of those, for example, is eliminating sole authority. Another is getting away from quick launch policies. In our book, the last chapter in our book, gives 10 prescriptions of what we can do to lower those dangers.
Has there been a time in history where we have come close to a nuclear war by mistake?
Yes, I would say the Cuban Missile Crisis is sort of the poster child of that. President Kennedy said after that crisis was over that he thought there was one chance in three that the Cuban Missile Crisis would result in a catastrophic nuclear war. One chance in three is not good odds. And at the other end of those odds is the end of our civilization. Even as he said that, though, he said not knowing that the Russians, in addition to putting medium-range missiles in Cuba, which were not yet operational, already had tactical nuclear weapons in Cuba with the nuclear warheads and with the commander having the authority to use them. So if Kennedy had accepted the recommendation of his, the unanimous recommendation of his Joint Chiefs of Staff to mount a military operation against Cuba, our troops would have been decimated on the beachhead with tactical nuclear weapons, and a general nuclear war would surely have followed. So I think the possibility that the Cuban Missile Crisis would have ended in a catastrophic nuclear war is actually greater than 1 in 3.
And given the advanced technology we have today, is it easier to prevent it or for a mistake to happen?
Well, I think with technology today, we're more likely to have accidents. For example, we now have cyber threats to our nuclear command and control systems that we did not have before. So just imagine if someone were able to manipulate our early warning systems, our satellite systems, to show a nuclear attack when in fact none was there. If a false alarm like that happened and the president didn't know it was a false alarm, I mean, that's the ultimate nightmare, where the president might just have a few minutes to decide whether the attack is false or real and might make the wrong decision and launch nuclear war, launch a retaliatory strike against a phantom attack, and therefore start nuclear war by mistake. That is one of the greatest dangers that we see and one of the things that our policies in our book are focused to prevent.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And just looking at some of the things that have just happened over recently in the past couple of years, tension between the U.S. and Iran rose when the Trump administration withdrew from the nuclear deal between Tehran and world powers in 2018 and reimposed sanctions against Iran. When the U.S. sent thousands more troops, including long-range bombers and an aircraft carrier, to the Middle East in response to what it called a growing threat of Iranian attacks on U.S. interests in the region, tensions were spiked even further. And in last January, for example, U.S. forces killed Iran's most powerful general. Iran has responded with a ballistic missile attack on a base in western Iraq where U.S. troops were present. No apparent Americans were killed, but more than 100 suffered traumatic brain injuries from these blasts. Some Democrats were unconvinced that the threat posed by Soleimani was imminent or that other alternatives to the killing were pursued in good faith. So what would both of you say, what is your view on the action by the Trump administration? And what type of long-term effect will this action have on the relationship with Iran?
Well, I think one of the most important things that the Obama administration did was negotiate a diplomatic solution to Iran's nuclear program and probably stopped a war in the Middle East, another war in the Middle East, which I think very few people wanted. Unfortunately, the Trump administration withdrew from that deal. And as a result of that, Iran is much closer to a nuclear weapon than they were in the Obama administration. So the Trump administration's actions have taken us backward in that regard and have brought us closer to war in the Middle East rather than far away. So I think one of the most important things that a new administration could do, for example, if the next president is a Biden administration, would be to work with Iran to get back into the nuclear deal and then see if we can build on that deal to make it even better.
Secretary Perry?
Iran poses many problems to the United States, but the one that is most serious is the nuclear weapon. The JCPOA dealt with that problem and dealt with it adequately. It did not the other problems. So abandoning the JCPOA, we gave away the solution to the most serious problem with Iran. I think we should get back into that agreement and work separately to try to deal with these other problems with Iran, because as disastrous as the military conflict with Iran could be, it would be much greater if the nuclear weapons were involved.
In March of this year, it marked the 50th anniversary of the entry into the Treaty on Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons, NPT. To commemorate this anniversary, the three NPT depository governments, the U.S., the United Kingdom, and the Russian Federation, are participating in a coordinated declassification project to publicly disclose significant national documents related to the negotiation of the treaty. Mr. Kalina, can you explain the significance of this project and what type of information will be yielded from it and how will it be used?
Well, I don't really know the specifics of that, but let me just say that I think, you know, the Non-Proliferation Treaty is a deal between the countries that have nuclear weapons, like those three, the US, the UK, and Russia, and states that don't, like Japan and South Korea and the rest of the world, quite frankly. And what's happening is that the nuclear powers are not doing enough to reduce their arsenals. And so other countries in the world are getting frustrated by waiting for so long. And so we're having real political problems in this treaty, the NPT, which is very important. And it's why we're getting pressure around the world for the nuclear powers to disarm through such things as a new treaty that's out there today called the Nuclear Weapons Ban Treaty, which would prohibit nuclear weapons around the world. So there's a lot of controversy around these issues, but there's certainly a lot of pressure on the United States and the other nuclear powers to reduce their arsenals even further.
Who's a part of the Nuclear Ban Treaty?
I would have to check. But all the states that have signed it so far are non-nuclear weapons possessors. And that treaty can go into force with a certain number of non-nuclear weapons possessors. Unfortunately, the nuclear weapons states, none of them have signed the treaty, and therefore the treaty will not lead to their disarmament anytime soon. But it's an important political symbolic measure to show that the vast majority of the world, the countries in the world, do not support the maintenance of nuclear weapons.
And on that note, we're going to take a short break and we'll return momentarily. You're listening to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Our guests are former U.S. Secretary of Defense Bill Perry and Plowshares Fund Policy Director Tom Kalina, authors of the new book, The Button, The Nuclear Arms Race and Presidential Power from Truman to Trump. I'm Kim Lewis. This is a reminder that our Press Conference USA podcast is available for free download on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may also follow us on Twitter or connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel, VOA. Here's a shout out to a loyal listener in Tehran, Iran, Hadi Milani. If you want to hear your name on the air, please send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com. or like us and leave a comment on Facebook. Now back to our program on the nuclear arms race with my two guests. Now in the book, you both make the case that today's military leaders have learned the wrong lessons from the Cold War and are keeping the most dangerous aspects of U.S. nuclear policy when they no longer need to. That's a direct quote from your book. I will get both of your views on this. Secretary Perry, your thoughts.
We are reliving the dangers that we created in the Cold War. Indeed, today, the likelihood of a nuclear catastrophe is greater than it was during the Cold War. And yet most of us probably do not understand that. It's time for us to realize the dangers we face today and learn the right lesson from the Cold War, which is there's a nuclear arms race and nuclear confrontation is something none of us want, and we want to get policies that get us away from that.
During the Cold War, we assumed, the United States that is, assumed that the greatest danger was a surprise attack from the Soviet Union at that time. And so we enacted policies so that the president of the United States could respond to such an attack very, very quickly. And that increased the danger of accidental war, of blundering into war. But during the Cold War, people thought those dangers were worth it, because the threat from Russia of a surprise attack was real. Now, the Cold War ended 30 years ago. And even so, we haven't changed these policies. We still live with, in my view, the mistaken belief that the largest threat is a surprise attack from Russia. But it's just not. And as a result, we're prioritizing that mistaken threat over the much more likely threat of blundering into nuclear war by mistake. And until we change those policies, we will continue to run that risk for no good reason.
Where does North Korea stand in all of this?
Well, North Korea, we have had problems in confrontation with North Korea now for many, many decades. had been aggravated by the fact that North Korea became a nuclear power in recent history. Some fear that North Korea might use their nuclear weapons in an unprovoked attack against South Korea or even the United States. I do not believe that is a threat or that is a danger. North Korea has the nuclear weapons because they fear the United States is trying to overthrow their regime. So they're using it to protect their regime and keep it in power. Whatever we feel about that regime, we should understand that that's what the nuclear weapons are for, and they do not pose a threat to the United States. And our policies then ought to be based on that understanding.
Tom?
I would just add that one of the highest priorities of a new administration coming in, for example, a Biden administration, would be figuring out a diplomatic strategy with North Korea. The Trump administration tried that. I actually supported the engagement of President Trump with the North Korean government. But unfortunately, the Trump administration just didn't have a viable diplomatic strategy. They just weren't serious about actually making progress. And so one of the highest priorities for a possible Biden administration will be figuring out a diplomatic approach to North Korea.
And if President Trump is reelected, what do you think his strategy should be?
Well, I think his strategy should be continued engagement, but you have to have a strategy to negotiate with the North Koreans that they will accept. Unfortunately, the Trump administration sort of saw it as an all or nothing thing. They wanted the North Koreans to give up their entire nuclear program in exchange for very little upfront. And it's no surprise that the North said, no, thank you. So what you need is a step-by-step approach where the United States offers small incentives for small steps, and then you sort of build that up gradually as you build trust, and then you start asking for major concessions by the North in exchange for major concessions by the United States. I think only a step-by-step process will work, and unfortunately, we didn't see that coming out of the Trump administration.
Should any country have nuclear weapons?
Both Tom and I believe that nuclear weapons are a danger to the world and we should work to eliminate them. But we don't see that happening anytime in the foreseeable future. And therefore, our book is directed at practical steps, political steps that the United States can take that reduces the danger of nuclear weapons.
Why do you think that mankind felt they needed to have them in the first place, knowing the danger and knowing that it could just decimate the entire world?
Well, the history, of course, is fascinating. And here we are at the 75th anniversary of the first nuclear test just last week and coming up to the 75th anniversary of the first use in Japan. And, you know, there was real fear that during World War II, Germany was working on a bomb. And so that was really the motivation for the United States to start its work. And that was really ultimately the motivation that led the project through to the end. Of course, then that kind of morphed into the motivation of ending the war with Japan. Unfortunately, people didn't really think long term at that point. They were focused on ending the war with Japan, and they didn't think about how the arms race would proceed apace after that. Well, I should say that some people, for example, concerned scientists, did think about this. And they thought that the United States, President Truman, should talk to the Russians, to the Soviet Union at that time, before using the bomb, to at least begin the process of negotiation of how to manage this devastating new weapon. Unfortunately, those opportunities were missed. We went into an arms race, and the history is the result.
What would you say is the future of the nuclear arms race? And I know you both mentioned whoever the next president is and what that focus should be, but even just really overall.
There's a difference between what the future should be and what the future might be.
What might it be?
What might it be is that we continue the arms race. We really have started on a second nuclear arms race. And you would think that the one we had during the Cold War was costly enough and dangerous enough, we would not want to repeat it. But in fact, that is what we're doing right now. Both the United States and Russia are engaged in major expenditures for building wholly new weapons, more dangerous, more lethal than the ones we had during the Cold War. So we are moving in entirely the wrong direction.
Well, how does
How do countries, the leaders, get together and try to make it so that it's not going in the wrong direction? Because if they really don't have any intention of using them, then why to keep making them more powerful and more dangerous?
The relationship between the United States and Russia today is so hostile that a useful dialogue between U.S. and Russia on reducing nuclear dangers is not likely to occur. If a new administration comes in, one thing it could consider is separating out the problems with Russia that are non-nuclear, that we might not be able to do anything about, from the problems with Russia that are nuclear. Because those, the nuclear dangers, nuclear terrorism, nuclear proliferation, a nuclear war, are dangerous both to the United States and Russia. So the U.S. and Russia should be able to agree and take actions to reduce those dangers. But to do that, they have got to separate out those problems from all the other problems with Russia, which we might not be able to really resolve.
And Tom, your thoughts on that?
I would urge the United States to take the lead on these things and not to wait for Russia to come along. The United States will be safer if it takes steps to reduce the chances of blundering into nuclear war. So we'll be safer if we end presidential sole authority. We'll be safer if we declare a no first use policy. We'll be safer if we get rid of the nuclear weapons that are most prone to being launched under a false alarm. We'll be safer if we do those things regardless of Russia does. So yes, we should talk to Russia. We should encourage Russia to take those steps. But if they're not willing to, we should go ahead and do it ourselves.
And how do you go about getting rid of a nuclear weapon or weapons?
Well, the good news is that we've done it a lot. We used to have about 80% more nuclear weapons in our arsenal than we do today. Arms control treaties over time, unfortunately, those treaties are now under threat from the Trump administration. But arms control treaties over time have reduced both the U.S. and Russian nuclear forces. And what you do is you take sort of the reverse process of building the weapon. You take it apart piece by piece. You separate the parts at specific facilities in the United States. There's a particular one in Pantex in Texas where warheads are dismantled, and you take apart the individual pieces and you disarm them and you make them as inert and safe as you can.
When I was the Secretary of Defense, we actually dismantled 8,000 nuclear weapons, 4,000 in the United States, 4,000 in Russia and the former Soviet Union. Countries like Ukraine that had them. So it can be done. Tom has described briefly how you go about doing it. The technical problem of doing it is not that difficult. What's needed is the will to do it.
Yes, that's what the problem is, the will to do it. What else would you like to share regarding your book in the last few minutes that we have?
I'd like to make about it is it, I have written papers, I've written books dealing with these nuclear issues, and I've written them in language for the specialists in this field. This book, The Button, Tom and I wrote with the idea of addressing the general public, because if we cannot get the public understanding the dangers, getting behind political action to reduce those dangers, then we're going to be stuck in the same rut we ran all during the Cold War.
And I would just like to point out, you know, the singular policy, the most dangerous policy we have is letting one person, the president of the United States, decide the fate of the world. And certainly President Trump is drawing attention to that authority right now. But no president should have the authority to end the world on his sole decision or sole discretion. And it's time that we really looked at that policy closely, challenged it, and come to a better solution.
Okay, thank you. Well, gentlemen, we're going to have to end on that note. I would like to thank you both, former U.S. Defense Secretary William Perry and Plowshares Fund Policy Director Tom Kalina, for sharing some of your insights on nuclear policy and the arms race, both from experience and from your new book, The Button, The Nuclear Arms Race from Truman to Trump. Press Conference USA was produced in Washington. I'm Kim Lewis, and be sure to join Carol Castiel next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.